بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, we begin by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jumu'ah to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to instill into every second of your lives the consciousness of your Maker, Allah Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all worlds, into every facet of your lives. And you must do this if you wish to attain victory, if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, ahlul taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. The title for my sermon today is From Nightclubs to Casinos, Trapped by Temptation. Today we gather to confront a harsh reality, a reality that is wreaking havoc on our communities. It is a reality where bars, casinos, nightclubs, and places of sin have become frequent destinations for many of our youth, and even some from the older generation as well. There was someone telling me the other day that there are youngsters, there are youth, Friday, come Friday, 6, 7 p.m., that is the last time that you can contact them. They're contactable up until Friday, 6 or 7 p.m., and the next time that you can contact them would be on Monday. In the sense, they're not going for some spiritual retreat. The weekend is spent in sin. The weekend is spent late in the night at bars, at casinos, at nightclubs, parties. These places of corruption call to the soul, offering false promises, a mirage, false promises of happiness, false promises of excitement. But instead, what do these places of sin, these places of the devil, these places of shaitan, what do they actually offer? They offer, they deliver destruction, they deliver addiction, and they deliver despair. And these evils are gaining ground within our community. Within our community, subhanAllah. You see, the temptations of the night, of the darkness, they're often presented as an escape, a way to de-stress, an escape, a moment of excitement, something that helps an individual forget his or her worries. But what truly happens in these environments? Do we come out of these environments revived? Do we come out spiritually rejuvenated? Or do we wake up the next morning, obviously with a splitting headache, filled with regret, filled with despair, filled or burdened with the stain of the heavy sin weighing heavily on our hearts, the sin of zina, the sin of intoxicants, the sin of being so close to the ways of the devil, fallen prey to the traps of the devil, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, the best of people, the narration goes along the lines of these words, the best of people are those whose lives are long and their actions are good. Their lives are filled with good deeds. Long lives filled with good deeds. And the worst of people are those whose lives are again long, but filled with bad actions, with evil actions. What good is found in a night spent in sin? A night spent in sin. Late into the night. You see, it starts off at times seemingly innocently, where you go out for a meal, you go out for a dinner with your friends, and I'm going to talk about friends. I'm going to talk about the company that you're supposed to be in. It starts off by gossiping. It starts off by talking bad about others. It starts off with all these evils, and it leads one thing after the other. It leads one thing to the other, subhanAllah. It evolves from sin to sin, from haram to haram. It's very easy for shaitan now to keep pushing you down this slippery slope, down this slippery slope, away and away from Allah and from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These environments, these places, these friends that you have, they're all filled with distractions that weaken your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things encourage behavior that are clearly forbidden. You have the mixing of genders in an inappropriate way. Males and females mixing and talking inappropriately. You have immodesty. Haya goes out of the window. There's immodesty, very immodest behavior between the genders. Then there is indulging in so many sins, one after the other, that take the heart away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a sin is done, there is a black spot that forms on the heart. And if an individual does not work towards removing that black spot, the black spots increase sin after sin, sin after sin, until the heart is no longer supple, until the heart is no longer soft, the heart becomes black, full of rust, and it hardens to the extent that when Allah is mentioned, the heart does not react. When the Quran is read, the heart does not react. When the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are mentioned, the heart does not react. Why? The heart is dull. The heart is heavy. The heart is burdened. The heart is blackened. The words of the Prophet, like an overturned vessel. The words of Allah do not penetrate. When you are in salah, you feel bored. When the imam reads the Quran, the imam breaks down. The imam is crying. You see, in reality, you cannot even read Suratul Fatiha without becoming emotional. But then those whose hearts have blackened, those hearts that have become like heavy weights, they do not react. The Quran does not penetrate. May Allah protect us all. Why? Because the heart is wallowing in sin. The heart is drowning in sin. How many of our youth, how many of our young men and women are being led astray by this quote-unquote culture of nightlife? How many being led astray? How many wake up the next morning with regret and yet go on to continue this vicious cycle of sin, weekend after weekend, night after night? This lifestyle eats away at the soul. It dims the light of Iman. It distances you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the noble Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have brought in Iman, innamal khamru wal maysiru wal ansabu wal azlamu rijsun min amalish shaitan. Intoxicants, wine, alcohol, and any form of drugs today, they all intoxicate. Intoxicants, gambling, and sacrificing on stone pillars to gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things are rijsun min amal shaitan. They are defilement. They are najis from the amal of shaitan, from the work of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pairs gambling and alcohol in this ayah. Why? Because both are addictive. Both destroy lives. Both are tools used by shaitan to trap people in a cycle of false hope. Gambling, like alcohol, begins with a small action. It begins perhaps with a bet with your friends. You know, if this match, or rather is if this team wins, I'll give you this much. Gambling, a bet. When watching a match or when playing a match or whatever it is, it starts like that and then eventually leads to a quick visit to a casino, thinking it's just for fun. Let's go and see what the hype is all about. Well, there's so many lights and flashing lights and women walking in and out. Let's just go for the fun of it. Yeah, it's haram, of course. I'm not going to indulge in it. Let's just go see what it's all about. And then it starts with a roll of a dice. It starts with a hand of cards. And one thing after the other, shaitan pushes you down the slippery slope. You know, fooling you with promises that, oh, you know, you may hit big. You may hit big. You may make a lot of money, big fortune. But as the saying goes, the casino always wins. The house always wins. So this promise of quick wealth, quick money is nothing but a lie. How many of us have gambled away their savings, gambled away their properties, gambled away their own homes, gambled away their wealth, all in the hope of winning big? And what happens when they lose, which is most of the time, they are now drowning in debt, debt that they cannot surface. They cannot surface from it. They're drowning in debt. Their children are lost. They're not able to then now fulfill the responsibility of being a father, fulfill the responsibility of being a husband. So broken families, broken homes, broken societies, broken connections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us about gambling. He warned us about every form of haram wealth. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, any flesh that is nourished by haram, by forbidden earnings, the fire is appropriate for it. The fire is appropriate for it. Touch your hearts. If you have consumed haram, I've spoken about this in the past few weeks. Our names have gone to the dogs in the marketplace. Muslims, people don't want to trade with us. Muslims are known as fraudsters. Muslims are known as scam artists. Muslims take a loan and they don't pay it back. The check of a Muslim is bound to bounce. We have become liars. And for what? To earn a few measly rupees. And what are you going to do with that money? You're going to feed yourself at the end of the day. You're going to feed your children with it at the end of the day. You're going to feed your spouse with it at the end of the day. You are feeding yourself, you're feeding your children, you're feeding your spouse, fire from Jahannam. It is simple as that. It's funny though, despite lying, people hold their heads high. The older generations, my generation can attest to this. The generation above me can attest to this. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, they would think so many times before writing a check. Why? Because a check is a binding promise. When you write the date, when you sign on it, you're saying, bi-idhnillah. If I'm living, and if Allah has not brought in severe circumstances, I will honor the check. But today, crooks from our community literally have checkbooks to write fake checks. They have accounts to write fake checks. They know. They know when they say, I'm going to pay in 2 months, in 3 months, 60 days. All this is falsehood, lie upon lie. At the back of their mind, they know, no way on earth am I going to honor this check. No way on earth am I going to pay in 60 days. They have already lined up excuses. You know, on the 60th day, this excuse, this hospital, that hospital. Grandmother passed away decades ago, but the grandmother keeps on passing away. Grandfather keeps on passing away. So many people are, you know, he kills so many people in the process of all of his falsehood and his lies to evade paying. Why? To roll the money. Why? Because another opportunity presented itself and now he's greedy. But look at the words of the messenger. And you have to understand the tone. The Prophet did not nicely say it. The Prophet warned. How do you warn a person? Oh, please don't do it. No, warning. Look at the words, so graphic. The fire, Jahannam. These were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, do you not see it happening around? So my dear brothers and sisters, you have to understand, if you are now concerned, oh, my son is in the nightclub. You see, look at the connection. I'm trying to make a connection here. My son is in the nightclub. My son is in the casino. What have you fed your son? If you've nourished the flesh with that which is haram, the flesh naturally inclines towards that which is haram. So why are you so surprised now? Put your house in order. Put your earnings in order. Make sure you strive to feed yourself that which is halal. Striving for Jannah. Feed your children that which is halal. Feed your spouse that which is halal. Alcohol and drugs. I know so many people from our community come and confide, and obviously for the sake of confidentiality, our lips are sealed. But we know the reality of how many people are struggling, addicted to alcohol, addicted to wine, addicted to beer, addicted to drugs. How many youngsters? One time I'm walking by a car park. Fancy cars. Youngsters from our community. They were surprised when they saw me. And they were all guilty. They were rushing to cover things up. And subhanallah, you can see so many things. Vaping devices, cigarettes, and not only that, bottles. And you can easily see or detect that drugs were also being used in that context. So what's going to happen to the future generation, to our children? It's a dark abyss, a dark hole, where if an individual falls into it, subhanallah, only Allah can help them. It's a very dark addiction. How many crimes have been committed under the influence of alcohol? How many murders have been committed under the influence of alcohol? How many suicides have happened under the influence of alcohol? How many young people have ruined their futures by succumbing and falling into the pit of drugs? The temptation starts small, but its consequences are devastating, my dear brothers and sisters. It is at this point I urge you, O parents in the crowd, O fathers, O mothers, O youngsters, to reflect on the power of your environment, to reflect on the power of your friends, on the circle of friends that you frequent. Bad company can drag a person deeper and deeper into the cobweb of temptations. The temptations of nightlife, the temptations of gambling, the temptations of drugs. On the flip side, good company can save an individual from destruction. Allahu Akbar. This is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Al-mar'u, a man is upon the religion of his close friend. So let one of you look at whom he befriends. If you look at a person's friend, you will know what kind of a person an individual is. If your companions, if your friends are those who frequent places of sin, how will you escape the temptation? You might think, oh, you know what, I'm strong. But we are all weak. We all fall prey to temptations. We all fall prey to the traps of the devil. If those around you are frequently indulging in gambling, how will you resist the urge to join them? But on the other hand, if you intentionally surround yourself with righteous companions, friends who remind you of Allah, friends who remind you of noble things, of good things, who encourage you to do good, who will stop you from slipping. If they sense that you are going down a dark path, they will stop you. You will find yourself protected from these traps, from these dangers. And this is why, not my words, look at the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautifully illustrated in another hadith. He says, the example of a good friend in comparison with a bad friend, in comparison to a bad friend, is like that of a musk seller, a perfume seller, and a blacksmith. If you have a friend who is a perfume seller, what happens? You don't have to buy perfume from him. By merely being in his company, you're going to smell good. Why? Let's say he has a store. You walk into the store. There's bound to be some free samples, tester bottles. Or even if you don't, or even if he does not give you, if he's a bit of a stingy friend and he does not even give you free testers, you're sitting in his store. When people come and try the perfume on, the molecules of those perfumes are eventually going to come and stick onto you. You will come out of the store smelling good. So you spend time with good friends, the goodness will rub off on you, even if you don't actively involve yourself in good things. On the other hand, the bad friend is like a blacksmith. You know who a blacksmith is? A blacksmith is a person who works by a furnace. The blacksmith is the person who is beating iron. Now, if you go and spend time with a blacksmith, what happens? You don't have to get involved and help the blacksmith, but by merely standing next to the blacksmith, you risk getting your clothes burnt. Why? Sparks are flying left, right, and center. You go into a blacksmith's workplace and come out, you're going to smell of coal and burning fire and whatnot. You might even end up dirtying your clothes. So this is the example of a bad friend. Even if you don't get involved in the bad that the friend is doing, it'll rub off on you. It'll rub off on you. At the very least, the blame will fall on your shoulders. The blame will fall on your shoulders. Let's say he does a crime, the cops are going to come after you as well. Guilty by association. You were there that night when it happened. And Allah forbid, if you don't have proof and evidence to prove your innocence, you can get dragged into that mess as well. So why? Why? Look at the Prophet. We talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about the Sahaba. Look at their friendships. Do you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hanging out with bad people? His friends were Abu Bakr and Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Look at the names. These were the friends he had. What about you and I? Keep your circle small. Not everyone wishes good for you today. Unfortunate, very unfortunate. Not everyone wishes good for you. If you have a good friend who has your best interests at heart, value and cherish them. But not everyone is a good friend. So be careful, be ruthless with your circle. Make sure you have the right type of people around you. Good friends. Just don't hang out with anyone and everyone. You'll end up falling into pit after pit. So as I come towards the conclusion of my sermon, what if someone has already fallen into these traps? What if someone is already addicted to gambling? There may be people in the crowd thinking, oh, it seems as if the Sheikh is talking to me. Sometimes after the sermon, people come up to me and say, Sheikh, how did you know? It's always as if you're talking to me. It's the will of Allah. You know, this platform is a very powerful platform. This is the same platform that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke on. It's not any ordinary platform. It is a divine platform. So through this platform, it is not me speaking. It is Allah's words, the messenger's words. We are merely instruments to convey. That's it. So what if someone is already addicted? What if someone is caught in this vicious cycle of sin? My dear brother, my dear sister, there is always hope, and the door of tawbah is always open. But you must turn to that door before it is too late. Our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the noble Quran in Surah Az-Zumar,
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا
الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my slaves, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, the ones who have transgressed against themselves, they have gone against the limit, against themselves. Is Allah saying you are doomed to Jahannam? There's no hope for you? No forgiveness, you're done.
La taqnatu min rahmatillah.
Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Look at how kind our Maker is. Look at how merciful Allah is. La taqnatu, and to the extent he didn't even address those individuals as sinners. He didn't say, oh sinners. He said, oh my slaves, oh my slaves. Look at how much he's filling our hearts with hope. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And on top of that, he goes on to say, inna allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. Indeed, he is the most forgiving, the most merciful. So if you slip, if you make a mistake, Allah is the most forgiving. But remember, don't take advantage of His mercy. Don't take advantage of His kindness. And turn to Allah before it is too late. I can't give you a guarantee that in 5 to 10 minutes, I will get down from this pulpit. You cannot give me a guarantee that you will make it to your office after Jumu'ah, that you will make it to your home after Jumu'ah, that you will eat lunch today. That is how temporary this life is. We run after this world almost as if we're going to live here forever and ever. Last week, how many people did you lay to rest? I'm sure you would have attended a janazah, a funeral. You would have gone by the qabr. You would have seen the reality of the qabr. You would have seen them lower the body into the grave. It may have been a relative. It may have been a parent. It may have been a child. It may have been a spouse. They've gone. You are up next. I'm up next. So are we ready? And what if, O youngster, what if when you are indulging in the fake pleasures of nightlife, you are in the lap of these fake pleasures, and what if Malakul Maut comes and stands in front of you? You have a bottle in your hand and Malakul Maut is in front of you. You're snorting drugs and Malakul Maut is in front of you. Now what are you going to say? Oh Malakul Maut, let me get rid of this bottle. When those youngsters saw me, they were trying to hide things. I am not Malakul Maut. Now are you going to tell Malakul Maut, let me hide the bottle. Let me hide the drugs. Let me wipe my nose. Don't take my soul now. Let me run to the masjid. Let me quickly pray. Let me ask Allah. Let me turn to Allah in tawbah and then take my soul. No. If your soul is supposed to be extracted at 12:45 to the millisecond, Malakul Maut is accurate. You will not be given a single millisecond more. Your soul will be extracted in that situation. So do you want to die with a bottle in your hand? Do you want to die with a deck of cards in your hand in a casino? Do you want to die rolling dice? Do you want to die snorting drugs? Do you want to die in some nightclub? Do you want to die in the midst of zina and prostitution? Ask yourself, O believer, ask yourself, O follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you want to meet your maker in that situation? Let this serve as a wake-up call. Think about it seriously. Make sincere tawbah before Malakul Maut comes in front of you. Allah will forgive you of your sins. You will be given a brand new chance, a new lease, a new chapter in your life. Forgive, ask Allah to forgive you sincerely. Make firm intention that you're not going to go back. And to do that, you must take action steps. You must change your environment. You must change your friends if they are friends who keep calling you to those sins. If you are serious about your tawbah, you must do that. You must hold yourself accountable. There's no point in being moved by this particular sermon, going home making tawbah, and today is Friday. In the night when you get a call by your friends, you again go back into that vicious cycle and only surface on Monday. What is the point? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? So be serious about it. Take serious action. Change your environment. Move and stay away from the traps of shaitan. Frequent, not only change your company, not only remove bad company, you must also frequent good company. Stay with the right people who will guide you towards that which is good. And after a period of time, you will find yourself becoming stronger, your connection with Allah stronger, to the extent that you will be able to brush away the temptations, brush away the addictions. So even if shaitan comes and tries to plant a thought, you will be strong enough to brush it away. And if you need to seek help, reach out and seek help. If you are addicted, then you need help. If you need the help of a scholar, if you need the help of a professional in that field who will help you with your addiction, reach out and seek help. And lastly, strengthen, work hard towards strengthening your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, the time to change is now. Is now. Do not wait until it is too late. Do not wait until death comes upon you and then you are filled with regret for the life that you wasted in sin, for the youth that you wasted in sin. Allah has given us this life as a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He will question us. He will ask us what we did with our youth, what we did with our wealth, what we did with our life. what we did with the opportunities that He gave us. So therefore, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal grant us the strength to leave behind destructive habits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youngsters, protect our youth. May He guide our youth. May He guide our elders away from the temptations of shaitan and towards the mercy of Allah. May He make us amongst those who repent sincerely, make tawbah sincerely, and enter His Jannah. Ya Allah, we raise our hands unto You, Ya Allah. Friday, Ya Allah, we raise our hands to You. Allahumma fi yawm al-jum'ah. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight path and keep our hearts firm upon Your deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the strength to overcome the temptations of this world, of this dunya, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us of our sins. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts. Ya Allah, purify our intentions. Ya Allah, help us to return to You with sincere tawbah. And help us to stay away from the traps of shaitan. Ya Allah, protect our youth. Ya Allah, shield them and protect them from the traps of gambling, from the traps of alcohol, from the traps of drugs, and all forms of sin, all forms of disobedience. Ya Allah, guide them back to the path of righteousness. Ya Allah, bless our community. Ya Allah, bless our country with peace, stability, and prosperity. Ya Allah, guide our leaders towards justice. Protect our lands from harm and corruption. Ya Allah, protect our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Palestine and all around the world who are suffering under dhulm, under oppression. Ya Allah, remove their suffering. Ya Allah, provide for those who are in need. Feed the hungry. There were many of us who were affected by the bad weather. Ya Allah, help them, Ya Allah. Ease their situation, Ya Allah. Provide shelter for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, use us as a means to help those in need, Ya Allah. Use our wealth, use us to put smiles on the faces of those who are in need, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to never turn away from our responsibilities towards the less fortunate, towards the poor, towards the needy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with good friends and righteous company, Ya Allah. Righteous companions who remind us of You, Ya Allah. Who encourage us towards good deeds, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us away from bad friends. Ya Allah, keep us away from bad company. Protect us from evil company, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our fathers, Ya Allah. Forgive our mothers, Ya Allah. Grant them, those of us who have lost our parents, Ya Allah, grant our parents the highest ranks in Jannah, Ya Allah. Those of us who have our parents alive with us, help us to be in their service, Ya Allah. Have mercy on them as they raised us when we were young, Ya Allah. Rabbana rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayana sighara. Ya Allah, protect our children from the evils of this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless our endeavors, Ya Allah. Protect our businesses, Ya Allah. Help us to only earn that which is halal and to stay away from that which is haram, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive every Muslim who has passed away, Ya Allah. Grant them high ranks in Jannah. And just as how You united us here in this masjid for Jum'ah, unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and bless us all to drink at the hawd, at the fountain, through the blessed hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.